Mrs. Edgley, reel 4.
Oh, Mrs. Edgley, you were at the 4th Northern General Hospital in Lincoln for about a year.
Yes.
I think. Mm-hmm. Then why did you return to Nottingham Hospital?
My husband was finishing his term in college, you see, and he would be getting a church before long, and so I decided anyway I ought to start off there. And of course, when we went to Knutsford, there was a Red Cross hospital there, so that I immediately went sort of on to the staff of that. I could do so I very often did night duty there. So did I had the daytime. I used to be able to put up with very little sleep in those days. And so I could do certain duties. We had we had a YMCA canteen there that was started
at Knutsford.
At Knutsford, because they took over the old prison, made it into a barracks for men, some regiments of men there, and had them there. And so they wanted a YMCA canteen, and being, you see, sort of in charge of the church there, they asked me to sort of supervise it, really, which I had to do. And so I used to, most of the morning I had doing, looking at the stock and what was there and ordering stuff and that kind of thing, and just used to go to bed in the afternoon. It's surprising how little sleep I could put up with.
And what time would you have to be on duty for a night work?
8 o'clock. And till 8 next morning, you see. And we had to sort of get the meals for the night as well, you see. So when you had time, and about 40 men there. And you didn't get their meals. The day staff got, because they didn't want meals at night, except, of course, you had to go round. I mean, some wanted drinks of various kinds and that sort of thing. But you had to do the meal for yourself and the sister who was on night duty. And it was a big, old-fashioned house, and the kitchens were sort of downstairs, you see, sort of semi-basement and that. And I know it used to be overrun with rats. Oh, it's terrible having to sort of dodge the rats at night when you were cooking a meal for the two of you. Wasn't exactly nice. But there we had, there were chiefly a lot, because by that time, you see, there were a lot of younger men. And the men that had been out east, and a lot of them there were surgical cases, of course, as well. But you had a lot of men with dysentery, and malaria, and all those sort of things that they got out east, you see. And dysentery people, of course, were very exacting. There was a lot to do for them, and there were the young men that, and they used to be, so they'd say, "Oh, well, sorry for you, nurse, they're giving you all this work and that kind of thing. You know, soon a change of bed, you had to do it again, you know, and so on." And they'd have visitors once a week, and a lot of them were seemed to be young men were more like my brother, you see, with the parents would come more often to them there, and bring all sorts of things for them and so on. They would insist on you having, you know, your share of it if they had a special something brought for them, which is very nice.
Were you allowed to take some?
Yes, we were there. But not to take them home. We just amongst ourselves there, and amongst the patients and so on. But they were very grateful. They They had a very bad time out east, apparently. You see, at that time, they didn't have all the antidotes that we have nowadays for malaria or dysentery or anything else, or jaundice, you see, and all that. And they really were very ill people. There was more illness than accidents. Some of them, of course, had accidents as well. But not such severe ones as we got, of course. They didn't have not surgical operations. They're not only minor ones. They didn't have big ones. I know when I was getting better from my my broken leg, I used to take the hospital and we used to sit and wash bandages and iron them all night long. I could sit down to that until my leg got better.
You broke your leg in a cycling accident when you were hoping to go out to Serbia.
Yes. And the two boys were chasing each other and came out of a little alleyway and dashed across the road, you see, knocked me clean off my bicycle.
When was that?
It was when I was working at the Red Cross Hospital in Knutsford. After I'd left the Second Southern.
Would you have gone out to Serbia?
Oh, I would have gone. Oh, yes. I went and had my interviews in London. Lady Grogan, who was in charge of that particular work, was very keen to have me because I'd had a fair amount of experience, you see. And it was all settled. But going out there, it was going to be, we were told, you see, it would be fairly rough. I mean, you'd have to live in tents. Probably sleep in tents and everything, and your work was amongst relief tents, you see, here and there, or over the country, might be anywhere. So that it wasn't going to be easy work, and you'd have to put up with a lot of rough conditions. Well, naturally, I suppose, I thought, well, no good taking anybody's buns had a broken leg. And so they had to write and tell me. I'm terribly disappointed.
Yes, how long did it take to heal?
Pardon?
How long did your leg take to heal?
Oh, well, of course, in those days, you see, it took a lot longer, I mean, than it does nowadays. It was slung up on a sling for about 6 weeks. And then I had weeks and weeks of physiotherapy after that. And the physiotherapist would come to, the private physiotherapist would come to my house, you see, about once a week, something like that. And so it took quite a long time, really, to get over it.
Now, was it before you were at Knutsford that you were at the Second Southern Hospital
yes.
in Birmingham?
Yes, oh yes. Well, was it or wasn't it? Oh, I suppose it must have been.
Was that a hospital solely for incurable patients who were waiting for?
Well, they were for very very long-term patients that probably wouldn't be able to go home again. Because some of them, like that sergeant who, thought I'd betrayed him in the village, threw me across the bed. He was mental as well as physical. And, he was still there when I left. There were still a few patients. They were gradually dispersing them, you see. And when they found somewhere they could go to. But many were too bad, really, to go home. They knew the wives couldn't manage them, you see. Because it was a heavy job. If you had a person from the waist downwards, absolutely immovable, it was a very heavy job. Always had to have two people, you see, to change the beds and make the beds. And then, of course, if sometimes they were even right up to their arms, and they had to be fed. So it was quite a long job, you see. And many wives said there, especially if they had young children. They simply couldn't have them at home, couldn't manage them.
How large was the hospital?
The hospital? Well, that had, originally had 2,000 beds. It was a huge place. You see, it was a very big hospital, a university hospital. And it was a huge place, wards upstairs and downstairs.
You started off in 1918 with 2,000 of these men and gradually were able to close wards?
Gradually they closed wards, you see, and then they would bring over to certain wards, they would bring so many each time. The ward I was in, it wasn't closed when I left, but they were gradually reducing the nurses, you see, and bringing those from the closed wards to other wards. And I don't know how many they'd got rid of, but they had, I think, half probably.
How many men were in a ward?
Well, they were very long wards too, about 40 beds in each ward, with 20 on each side.
With and, how many nurses?
Well, there we had two VADs, one nurse, trained nurse, and one sister over the two. Because, of course, their treatment was more or less, you might say, settled and a routine, the same routine all the time, you see, with them.
What sort of care did they require? Were there still many men who needed constant dressing changings?
Not so much the constant dressing as the looking after them. Well, I mean, many of them, of course, were incontinent, you see, and had to have everything done for them. Many of them were that like that. And if, they, of course, they had arms as well, they couldn't do anything for themselves. And you had to do the whole of the dressing, the washing and everything else, you see. It was quite a long time, and you couldn't do all those beds in the morning that you could have done before. It took quite a time, and had two of you, you see, had to have two of you. So nobody got off in the mornings then, when we had to have our off duties either afternoon or evening, because there was so much to be done, you see, and many of them had to have sheets changed every day, and sometimes draw sheets two or three times a day, for that matter. But they were all extremely grateful, you know, for anything you did for them.
Was the atmosphere in that hospital rather different? I think it would be rather depressing for all those young men who could
yes.
never...
Well, it was much more so. I mean, in the other hospital, you know, the wounded and that in the early days, they were all sort of expecting the war would be ended before very long and anticipating going home and so on, and not realizing a bit, of course, how long it was going to be. And they would get better from their wounds and then be sent to a convalescent home and so on. But these did realize, you see, that... well, they knew themselves, lots of them, that they simply couldn't go home and that they were waiting. And it was rather, the atmosphere was rather, it could be depressing, but you didn't have to let it be depressing. You had to be always extremely cheerful with them and keep up their morale, you know, and so on.
Did they ever like to talk to you about the war or about their fears for the future?
Sometimes they did, it just depended. Some did and some didn't. There were some younger ones. I think had a tendency to be a bit older. Of course, they'd had some of them that had 4 years of war, you see, for that matter, and seemed to be older. And some of them, you see, had gone back, been perhaps wounded and gone back again once or twice, for that matter. But, as I say, it could be depressing, but you didn't have to let it be so. You had to be extremely cheerful and, you know, always look on the bright side of things and keep their morale up.
Was there any sort of entertainment you could provide to relieve the monotony?
Well, people would come in, from various churches, for instance. They would come in perhaps once a week and perhaps play the piano or give them some songs if they got anybody who could sing. You see, come and give them songs or recitations or something of that sort. And occasionally, sometimes, they would say, well, now, what about you men? Don't you know a recitation or something or other? And they would come out with something a bit funny, you know, at times. And the Sunday afternoons, if nobody came, I remember I had to play the piano to them, and I'd ask them sort of, you know, what hymns they'd like. And the most unlikely people would bring out the most unlikely hymns. And you'd say, well, wherever did you learn that? Oh, well, I used to go to Sunday school when I was little. And I didn't keep it up, mind you, but I never forgot that we learned those hymns, and that sort of thing, they would say. And surprisingly how they liked it, because if nobody came on a Sunday afternoon, I remember in our ward, I had to play the piano to them for them to sing. And they loved singing.
Did you have a piano for each ward?
Yes, yes. Oh, and all kinds of societies, you know, would come in perhaps once a month or once a fortnight and so on. Give them, and of course, they... we had to spruce them up and make them look their best, you know, and they used to enjoy that, people coming from the outside, you see. Made a change.